Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Have any of us duly considered how much we have to be thankful for? Do we remember that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning, and that His faithfulness faileth not? Do we acknowledge our dependence upon Him and express gratitude for all His favors? On the contrary, we too often forget that every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. How often those who are in health forget the wonderful mercies that are continued to them day by day, year after year. They render no tribute of praise to God for all His benefits. But when sickness comes, God is remembered. The strong desire for recovery leads to earnest prayer, and this is right. God is our refuge in sickness as in health. But many do not leave their cases with Him. They encourage weakness and disease by worrying about themselves. If they would cease repining and rise above depression and gloom, their recovery would be more sure. They should remember with gratitude how long they enjoyed the blessing of health, and should this precious boon be restored to them, they should not forget that they are under renewed obligations to their Creator. When the 10 lepers were healed, only one returned to find Jesus and give Him glory. Let us not be like the unthinking 9, whose hearts were untouched by the mercy of God. God is love. He has a care for the creatures He has formed. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a precious privilege is this, that we may be sons and daughters of the Most High, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Then let us not mourn and grieve because in this life we are not free from disappointments and afflictions. If in the providence of God we are called upon to endure trials, let us accept the cross and drink the bitter cup, remembering that it is a Father's hand that holds it to our lips. Let us trust Him in the darkness as well as in the day. Can we not believe that He will give us everything that is for our good? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Even in the night of affliction, how can we refuse to lift heart and voice in grateful praise when we remember the love to us expressed by the cross of Calvary? What a theme for meditation is the sacrifice that Jesus made for lost sinners. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. How shall we estimate the blessings thus brought within our reach? Could Jesus have suffered more? Could He have purchased for us richer blessings? Should it not melt the hardest heart when we remember that for our sakes He left the happiness and glory of heaven and suffered poverty and shame, cruel affliction and a terrible death? Had He not, by His death and resurrection, opened for us the door of hope, we should have known nothing but the horrors of darkness and the miseries of despair. In our present state, favored and blessed as we are, we cannot realize from what depths we have been rescued. We cannot measure how much deeper our afflictions would have been, how much greater our woes, had not Jesus encircled us with His human arm of sympathy and love and lifted us up. We may rejoice in hope. Our Advocate is in the heavenly sanctuary, pleading in our behalf. Through His merits we have pardon and peace. He died that He might wash away our sins, clothe us with His righteousness, and fit us for the society of heaven, where we may dwell in light forever. Dear brother, dear sister, when Satan would fill your mind with despondency, gloom, and doubt, resist his suggestions. Tell him of the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. You cannot save yourself from the tempter's power, but he trembles and flees when the merits of that precious blood are urged. Then will you not gratefully accept the blessings Jesus bestows? Will you not take the cup of salvation that he presents and call on the name of the Lord? Do not show distrust of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do not for a moment pain the heart of the pitying Savior by your unbelief. He watches with the most intense interest your progress in the heavenly way. He sees your earnest efforts. He notes your declensions and your recoveries, your hopes and your fears, your conflicts and your victories. Shall all our devotional exercises consist in asking and receiving? Shall we be always thinking of our wants and never of the benefits we receive? Shall we be recipients of His mercies and never express our gratitude to God, never praise Him for what He has done for us? We do not pray any too much, but we are too sparing of giving thanks. If the loving kindness of God called forth more thanksgiving and praise, we would have far more power in prayer. We would abound more and more in the love of God, and have more bestowed to praise Him for. You who complain that God does not hear your prayers, change the present order and mingle praise with your petitions. When you consider His goodness and mercies, you will find that He will consider your wants. Pray. Pray earnestly and without ceasing, but do not forget to praise. It becomes every child of God to vindicate His character. You can magnify the Lord. You can show the power of sustaining grace. There are multitudes who do not appreciate the great love of God, nor the divine compassion of Jesus. Thousands even regard with disdain the matchless grace shown in the plan of redemption. All who are partakers of this great salvation are not clear in this matter. They do not cultivate grateful hearts. But the theme of redemption is one that the angels desire to look into. It will be the science and the song of the ransomed throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Is it not worthy of careful thought and study now? Should we not praise God with heart and soul and voice for His wonderful works to the children of men? Praise the Lord in the congregation of His people. When the word of the Lord was spoken to the Hebrews anciently, the command was, "And let all the people say, Amen." When the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the city of David, and a psalm of joy and triumph was chanted, all the people said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. This fervent response was an evidence that they understood the word spoken and joined in the worship of God. There is too much formality in our religious services. The Lord would have His ministers who preach the word energized by His Holy Spirit, and the people who hear should not sit in drowsy indifference or stare vacantly about, making no responses to what is said. The impression that is thus given to the unbeliever is anything but favorable for the religion of Christ. These dull, careless, professed Christians are not destitute of ambition and zeal when engaged in worldly business, but things of eternal importance do not move them deeply. The voice of God through His messengers may be a pleasant song, but its sacred warnings, reproofs, and encouragements are all unheeded. The spirit of the world has paralyzed them. The truths of God's word are spoken to leaden ears and hard, unimpressible hearts. There should be wide-awake, active churches to encourage and uphold the ministers of Christ and to aid them in the work of saving souls. Where the church is walking in the light, there will ever be cheerful, hearty responses and words of joyful praise. Our God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, declares, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth Me." All heaven unite in praising God. Let us learn the song of the angels now, that we may sing it when we join their shining ranks. Let us say with the psalmist, "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee.